free.
Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event, going on now, with special promotion pricing on tractors and Commander zero-turn mowers. Click on StLouisKubotaDealers.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Test, test. Test, test, check, check.
Crossed over.
Everything seems to be working.
If I never have a
was
cent,
that? Was that you?
No, that was Lauren.
Oh, really?
Gold
yeah.
Deep voice.
She can have a deep voice.
On the sunny side of the street.
Good afternoon and welcome to the August 11th edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. We have a special guest, a guy who has not been in the studio for years and years and years and years. I'll explain who he is and why he's here. And I'm gonna do some business so that we can have some time to talk. We're not going to just pretend like this Ferguson stuff is not happening, because it's happening. But I want you to stay with me here, because maybe we'll all learn something with the help of my friend who's in the studio. I'm going to start by introducing you to Mark and Jason, and then we can move into this. And I think if you'll stick around, you'll be glad you did. Mark Reardon and Jason Becker are financial advisors, and they work with people who have $25,000 or more. And a lot of people who are at the level they are won't do that. You have to have $100,000 to get what I think is their level of expertise. But I think their thinking is, if we can work with you when you have 25, then you'll be with us when you have 50 and when you have 100. And maybe that's the thinking. You contact them at markandjason.com. You go to that website, and the information you need is their phone number to set up an appointment. And if you don't like what they say, don't meet them again. Don't have a second meeting. If you do, then you move forward. You might even get rid of the former financial advisor you had if you like what they had to say better. So that's it. It's real simple. 27 years with Stifel Nicolaus, Mark Reardon, Jason Becker, markandjason.com. Would you please welcome to the studio my friend, Lane White. Lane, how are you?
Fine.
We've not seen each other for a while, and that is both our faults. It's your fault as much as my fault.
You're real busy.
Yeah, I'm very, very busy, Lane. Yeah. I'm so busy.
Oh, man.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not.
Here we go.
I'm going to tell real quickly the story, and I ask you to come in because I thought, if I talk about this Ferguson thing and I don't do it and I don't have somebody with me who can give me another perspective, somebody who is black, then I'm not going to do it. And I called you, and immediately you said, I'll be there. I'll be there. But let me tell people how we met. Lane, as long as I've known him, has been an intimidating, that's a good word, I guess, intimidating figure. You at one time weighed 100 pounds more than you weigh right now. And what do you weigh now?
262.
So when I met you years ago, you were 3-something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were riding in a poker run for MDA, muscular dystrophy, and it ended at some Knights of Columbus or American Legion or a VFW hall or something. And of all the people there, we were all riding Harleys, you were the only black guy there. And I noticed you, and you looked at me kind of funny.
And I remember I didn't like it, and you said something smart to me, and I took you behind the building and kicked your ass. Do you remember that? Oh. I kicked your ass. Do you remember that?
Is that what you remember, Lane?
That's a true story. Okay, maybe that's not exactly what happened. But that's how we met. And I don't know. For some reason, we just started talking. And meant to be, maybe, because all these years later, we still talk. Maybe not every day, every week, every month, but we still talk. This thing in Ferguson, I don't know maybe even as much about what's going on as a lot of people who've followed every newscast, but you turn on the TV and you go, my goodness, what are we, in L.A. or something? I guess what we, meaning the white people, don't understand is how you can be so angry when you, one, don't even know the facts yet, and two, angry enough to destroy the lives of your fellow black brethren, other people in the community that you have destroyed what they've taken years to work to build. I don't get that. I don't get it. Do you get it?
It's hard. It's no right and wrong. There's no right and wrong answer. The thing is, you have opportunists that are just sitting and waiting.
Al Sharpton being one. To me, he's an opportunist. He waits for things like this so he can show up and get on television and act like he's going to solve everything, which he never does.
He never does. He's the neutral in your 6B transmission. You got everything going on. You bring him in, he's going to settle everybody down because of his name.
Yeah. And that's fine. If he can settle down, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
But opportunists look for their amount of time under the sun, or what do they call it? 5 minutes of fame?
Yeah, 15.
15 minutes of fame, and that's what those guys were doing last night.
They're not getting famous. They may think they're getting famous.
They're waiting. And being a person of color, they're waiting. The reason why people will say Caucasian people do not understand, because they haven't walked the walk and lived in my shoes, per se.
Okay.
You get people that will take the worst thing. You have people, when you have a funeral, people get angry because the person's dead, and the other one get angry because they may have the will being read. And you get more than I do. What happened to the dead person? That's what we're asking right now. The poor young guy that died, they're now waiting for, the mother and father are feeling hurt.
Right.
But you got the opportunist sitting there saying, aha, here's our chance. And I understand, because I was raised, I have walked in my own shoes being a person of color.
Right. How were you raised? What do you mean?
I was raised at 13. My mom raised me from 1 to 13, and I'm from a broken home. And she raised me with my grandfather. He had a barbershop. He taught me to clean the barbershop, or say, moving right along. He was the man figure until mom got married at 13, and then I had a stepfather. Love him. He taught me about biking, mechanics, and how to excel, get an education. In the 60s, 50s, and 60s, get an education. Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Have something, do something. And here's what they used to always say. Make one step further than I have. And your mom and dad will explain it to you then, and saying, I want you to do better than I have done.
But most parents do that. Most parents want that.
They might want it, but do they install it in their kids?
Right.
You don't know what in Baltimore. I'm gonna come back in Baltimore, Maryland. Right now, they're having a curfew thing. Same thing's happening right now. Here, they're having a curfew thing with people of color, and they're blaming it all on a black and white thing. You don't see that. A guy said the other day, you don't see a curfew in the Caucasian area. Why have one here? Because you're out past your age limit. That's what's happening there. Moving back to here. No one knows what happened, because they're not telling now. It may be enough, but but a little bit's coming out. What I would say to the police, they should have brought at least something to the table. It would have squashed this. They're holding everything back. When you can't see nothing, you're suspicious.
Okay, but would it really? Because what if they brought to the table, it was justified, there'd be people that just wouldn't buy it. They'd go, I don't believe that. They're covering this up. They're covering something up. There would be people that would say, that's not the way it happened. Look, I've seen people, and you have too, something happens in a bad neighborhood, and a young black man gets shot in the middle of a robbery. I mean, he's a robber. And yet the mom go, my baby didn't, he wouldn't do that. And when the facts are all right there, maybe there's even, they didn't have to kill him. Well, you be a cop, and you put yourself in that situation. You can't wait for the other guy to drop you. Sometimes you do what you have to do. In this case, I'm not taking a stand in this case. I don't know what happened here. I don't know what happened. But I ask you this. Is there any way, and I don't know that there is, will we ever find a way to convince young black men that getting an education and living right, not living white. See, I think they sometimes think that they're living white if they speak well, if they get an education. Well, now I'm trying to be white. No, you're trying to be right. I just made this up on the way here. I thought living right, living white. There's right and wrong, and there's good and bad, and that's it. I don't care what color you are. How do we ever convince young people that you have two choices? You can go with your thug friends, and you can loot and rob and deal drugs and whatever and be cool for 15 minutes till you're shot. Or you can get an education, learn how to speak. How do we ever convince them that the educated right way to live is the way to go? How do you do that? And what is it that keeps them from wanting to do that? They absolutely don't want it. If you gave them the choice, and we have, they don't take it. What is that?
It's how you were raised. It's installed in how you were raised. Listen to you just then, you almost handed down a sermon. That was beautiful.
Thanks.
Now, here's the thing. It's how you were raised. You can't take nothing away from nothing because you're going to come up with zero. You've got to start with something, and it starts in the home.
Okay.
Okay. If this young man, speaking on what you just said, if this young man is taught, I need an education to get somewhere where I can work for 30 years.
And I think he was, Michael Brown. He was on his way to Vatterock. Supposed to start today. He was on the right track.
But what associates? What did he have to prove other than getting an education? People don't know me as my nickname. I'm two people. But I project the image of how I was raised.
Your nickname is Mongoose.
Yeah.
The motorcycle gang name, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But you got two ways of presenting yourself. You can't present yourself 100%. I've retired from two jobs in my life. And I was taught by a mom and a stepfather. I want to have something. Once I turn my son loose in the street. What did he do? He went to Texas. When the other one, he went into the military. Now he's out. He's doing good, and he's doing good. So it's what you were taught. We install that in our kid. If you start at home, okay, now you might say, okay, what's that have to do with this guy getting shot? Who knows except those three people what happened? But you got to want to.
Is there not, though, a lot of pressure from young black men on the black men who are on the right path? There's a lot of pressure for them to come on back over to the other side. What are you doing? Trying to be white? What are you doing? Trying to be, you're too educated for us. You think you're too good. Is there not that pressure? Come on, go out with us one last time this weekend and show that you're really one of us. There has to be that pressure. What is this snitches get stitches crap? What I learned about that? I rode one night with my good friend, the late Tom Ziff, down in the bowels of the city, 9th mm-hmm. District. Okay. And there's a stabbing. And we get the call, and he said, all right, we're going to go. He says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There are going to be at least four or five guys there who all saw what happened, but they didn't see a thing. Sure enough, we get there. Here's the guy stabbed. He's bleeding. He made it. He lived. And he was conscious. And when my friend asked him what happened, Here, standing right around him are all the guys that were there. They don't know. They don't know who did it. They were right there. They know exactly who did it. And it's the snitches get stitches thing. How do you combat stuff like that? How do you fight that? When the neighborhood thugs, gang leaders say, if you say anything, we're coming after you, we're coming after your family. Wow, how do you fight that?
1960, okay, look at it. Let's go back. Okay, I'm going to answer your question. 63, it was bad everywhere but in Illinois, Missouri.
Okay.
Okay, now take care of what I say now. So you move right on over to what you say. We couldn't live but in, people of color couldn't live but in one or two places that were already set for you.
Right.
And it became a way of life. If anybody other than the people that you were raised around, that's why it used to be called a neighborhood. Now it's not neighborly anymore. It's just called the hood. You get it?
Yeah.
Nobody's never said that, but they call it the hood now. It's not neighborly anymore because of the way things are now. But if you at one time had to live in the city, and a lot of the people in the city, it's too rough for them, move out here. I'm going to answer you.
All right, you're leaning away. You got to stay in.
Okay.
I'll take you out back and do what I did to you years ago. Okay? I mean.
What happens is you become true, quote, quote, not faith, meaning God. You become true to the faith, which is your neighborhood back then.
Okay.
Anybody other than anyone with authority comes in the neighborhood, you took it to your neighbor, your auntie, your uncle, or the neighbor, two or three neighbors. Now, if you come with authority, you want to change what we already got set up. You don't live here. That's the mentality of what's happening here. Snitches get stitches. In other words, you're going to get zapped if you say anything. That's what that implies. So when you leave, if they say, well, Sam and Joe is here, and Joe know that Paul did this, you're going to take Paul, you're going to go. But you just told him, you got to move, you got to go out to the county now. That's how that works.
You know something, I actually do understand. Let's say I can try to pretend that I'm a black man, all right? I understand that I am suspected sometimes when I'm not guilty. I understand I'm stopped when maybe somebody else, but I get that. And I get that that's gone on for a long time. And I get how that would make you angry. But what I guess I don't get is the way to put an end to that is to prove those people wrong who think that just because, does that make sense? Who think that just because you're black, you're probably going to rob somebody or rape somebody or burn a place down. Prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. Don't prove them right by doing what these people are doing in Ferguson. What these people are doing is setting the black community back 20, 30 years. They're doing exactly what they don't want us to perceive them doing. And some of these people have no vested interest. They couldn't care less about this Michael Brown. They want a TV. They want to break glass. Woohoo, it's a party. I watched a bunch of videos. Some people sent me some videos, some cell phone videos that were taken here. Unbelievable. I don't think they even know why they're really there. It's just the call went out, let's go loot and rob and break windows, and something happened, and we'll show them. And they don't really know what they're even there for, some of them.
You said that word, them, but takes in people without face that feels a certain different way that you feel, being Caucasian or black. Them means you got to stay away. You didn't say you got to stay away from Paul. You said them. You got to show them. Right. On that, and this guy was home getting ready to start school. We got to show them. Come on, you can do this one more time. And it cost him a lot. Now, what you just said means a lot, but getting back to answer your question, opportunist. You're forgetting one thing. Neighborhood hood boundaries, opportunists. Ferguson looks beautiful in the daylight. Ferguson looks beautiful in the daylight. You run down through there in the pizza place. My credit union is right down in there. But here's the thing. At night, it's an entirely different thing. Now, that being said, they have to protect their neighbor/hood. And those opportunists...
Well, they're not protecting it, they're destroying it.
Opportunists are sitting there. And you know what they're going to say? Man, I got to go vote. Now I got to go over to Florissant and get me something to eat. So forth and so on. It's opportunists is there.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think when something like this happens, whether it's Trayvon Martin or this thing, that the black community wants to burn and break and loot? When O.J. Simpson was cut loose, and anybody with half a brain knows he killed those people, okay, you didn't see white people go crazy and insane. They were stunned, but they didn't burn. And I'm telling you, speaking as a white person, we could not believe that that guy got off. And I actually do believe that maybe part of the reason he got off was that the judicial system and the police, they were afraid to hand down a guilty verdict because of what might, I'm serious, of what might happen.
Because of opportunists.
And I just, and then I, but I do sort of understand, we don't have a history of being persecuted. We don't have a history of being profiled, of labeled. So we're not, we haven't built up all this anger and this hate waiting to release it. We don't have that. So when an OJ thing happens, we don't look at it as, well, here we go again. Because it was an odd, unusual situation that we don't see a lot. And I don't think we took it as, oh, here we go again. Black guy kills a white person and gets away with it. It's just, you know what I think? I don't think we're ever going to figure this out. As long as the young black community walks around with something in their heads, I'm a victim, I'm persecuted, as long as you keep going and keep that rolling around in your head, you're never going to make it. You're just not.
Being labeled. Like you just said, a black person. If you can get out of your head and understand whom you are, then you won't fall into the trap of being labeled a bad person of color. New York, it was the Irish, so forth and so on. So they lived all that down, being Caucasian. Now, black people, when you say, man, that black dude, he stole my money. And then you say again, man, that's a nice black preacher. Why couldn't you say it that preacher, you're stereotyping. He's a black preacher, so you got to think twice. This happened, okay, I'm going somewhere with this. I was at a real popular meeting the other day, and it was a motorcycle club that was going to give an event. And do you know that one of the highest and held in high esteem men around here said, hey, we're going to have an event next week. And instead of saying, is the motorcycle club come out, we're going to have a car wash and bike wash. You know, he said, there's a black motorcycle club coming out, and I hope you guys come out. Now, stereotyping, and the guys, I went out, it was fantastic, everything was good. Same thing, when you stereotype a person, they got to stay in that niche. I move myself out of that niche, and that's what everybody of color, when they stop saying I'm African-American.
I know how you feel about
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll move on off of that.
No, but people listening don't. I know how you feel. You're not African-American. You told me that. You never been to Africa.
I never been to Africa. And I've never paid the money to find out how far my genes go back. My genes go back down to Missouri.
Yeah.
And that's about it. But if some of these young people would realize they want more out of life than life has handed them, from not having a father in their life or not having a mother, then it would change a few things. It's going to change. It's going to change. You see, you don't think
it's going to take another 100 years. It just is.
50. 1963 to last year. It's changed a lot.
In the 60s.
Right.
When we finally decided civil rights, let's give these kids a chance to go to the same schools the white kids go to.
Right.
All right, we did that. It's been 50 years. Go listen to a group of young black people and how they speak and how they talk. It's exactly that same Ebonics street that it was 50 years ago. Help me with that.
Mentality.
I don't know what you mean.
The way you are when you're not in school to fit in.
Well, you know what? There's some things I don't want to fit in.
Right, but
if I go down south, and I'm from the south, and you know, because you've been, we Sykes talked about, yeah. well, Jackson, Humboldt, yeah. okay. If I go back down there today, and I see my cousin coming here the other day, I don't want to go back and fit in down there. I don't want to be toothless and racist and redneck hillbilly. I don't want it. So I don't know that I get wanting to go backwards or stay back there. I don't get that. You've been to school. You've been to public schools. You know grammar. You had a teacher. Why do you want to stay with this type of behavior and lingo that can cost you maybe a job?
You said it. Go back down there. People of color are right here in this area. Now, follow me on this. They're right here in this area.
Right.
Now, you have to go back. When you do go back to visit.
When I go back home to my neighborhood and I'm black and here in town and I leave school and I go back home, okay? If I don't talk that talk, I am what?
Ostracized.
Okay.
Now, this young man here, he came from somewhere else to here. So who knows that he wasn't trying to get in where he fit in?
Right.
You don't know that. We don't know half of. He might have been as they said, he was a great student. He just graduated from high school. Half the guys I went to school with didn't graduate. But here's the thing. He did. He saw a future, but he got in what he fit in. I don't know what happened that afternoon.
But you do understand that what you just described does happen.
There it is. I concur. I thoroughly concur.
And that happens with white kids or black kids. It's that peer pressure crap.
That's it.
And wanting to fit in, and a good kid, black or white, can end up in the wrong place or dead or in jail. What's the one biggest example of profiling in your life that you can share with me where you knew you were stopped, arrested, whatever, because you were black?
I moved to Chicago. My job moved to Chicago. I've been blessed. I was going up to Owens, Illinois to work, and I had, at that time, and everybody remembered, I had a blue Corvette. I had a blue Corvette.
Good for you.
I know. It was nice. It was nice. So I went on the other side of Springfield. I was tooling along, had the radio on, was minding my own business. State trooper pulled me over. I don't know how fast I was going. He pulled me over. He asked back then with no insurance. He asked me who I was, where I was going, and he ran everything on my license. And that was the hardest time that I really was worried about going to jail, because that was, late 70s.
And you're worried about going to jail. Why? Because you thought he might think you stole the Corvette?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
But you had the proof that you didn't steal.
I know, but...
So how'd it turn out?
He let me go that afternoon, didn't write me a ticket or nothing. He said, we pulled you over because we assumed something. I forgot what it was now. And he let me go without nothing. I was in the wrong place. I was in the right place at the wrong time. And that was the most... Everything else has been going good. I've had a blessed life, and I try to,
I'm working very hard. I've worked hard for the last 50 years of my life,
yeah.
trying to undo what was done to me in the South when I grew up. I used to wash my hands when I shook hands with a black person. Okay. And don't tell me, if you're out there listening, you don't know what I'm talking about, because many of you do know exactly what I'm talking about, that it would rub off on you.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good friend who was a part-time babysitter, Daisy Covey. I love Daisy Covey, black woman. But as much as I loved her, she smelled like smoke, because their house was heated with the old wood.
Right.
It was that smoky smell.
That's right.
And I remember thinking, well, that's how black people smell. They smell like charcoal and smoke and stuff. And most of them did, because that's how they heat their houses. But I would wash my hands because I thought, why don't the black stuff to rub off on me? And I have tried, and I'm still trying, because we do tend to... You said something years ago to me. I've never forgotten this. When I met you, you were dressed in all black leather. Here's a black guy, all black leather. You were maybe the baddest looking guy I had ever seen. You looked like if you had the power to look at a guy and break his knees just by looking at him. And I said to you one time, we rode together. You and I rode down into the city, and I was scared to death, by the way. I was on a Harley, and you're on a Harley. You said, come on, we'll go down to my brother's house. And I went, no. He said, no, come on, we're going. And we got down there, and I thought, I'm going to die any minute. But I didn't, because I was with you. But I said to you, do you know how bad you look. And I know you, and you're not a bad person, but you look bad. And you said, yeah. And you said, yeah, here's what you said. You said, I get a big kick out of when I pull up to a stoplight watching people lock their doors.
Yeah.
He said, you said, I can look over and see people locking their car doors.
Yeah.
And you found it kind of amusing.
Yeah. It's you, I've been blessed. What it is I treat people and everyone out here that maybe, you know, that knows me, I treat people the way I want to be treated. Now everybody's not like that. Everybody wasn't raised like that. Some guy would come and say, I don't give a crap how you feel about nothing. I'm going to be like this. And if you like it, you see, that's not good. Treat people the way you can always dismiss somebody, but you treat them the way they want to be treated, and you can't go wrong.
I heard a female, black female, this morning, because of this Ferguson thing, on, and I don't know what I was listening to. I was in the car jumping around trying to hear everything I could hear about it. And she said, I'm scared at night if I'm walking and I see three young black men coming toward me. She's black. She said, I'm more scared than I would be if they were white. Do you feel the same way?
Yes.
Now, you told me one time, here's the stuff I remember from you, that you were going to pick up a chicken carryout or something. You remember this?
Yes.
And three guys, I think it was, saw you, and they were younger, and you were, at then you weren't that old, like 50 or whatever, but they blocked you. And they were going to teach you a lesson or something. But they didn't, because they didn't know who they were dealing with. But you would even say yourself, because of so much crime and so much hate and anger, that even you, if you just said three white guys, three black guys, well, you'd be more afraid of three black guys. Do you have black people that think you're an Uncle Tom, that think you're trying to live white instead of live right? Because you told me you're not an African-American. Tell them what you put down when you fill out a form. You're what? What are you?
I'm an American Negro.
You know how few black people say I'm a Negro?
Of Negroid dictionary descent.
It's a legitimate race.
It's a legitimate race.
There's the United Negro College Fund.
See, here's the thing. I don't like being put in a niche or stereotyped. I don't, and when somebody, everybody's going to be, you can't change a Republican to a Democrat and vice versa, but here's what you want to do. You want to find your own being and be that being. As simple as that.
And I think too many black people think that they have to serve the man or do just to be right and live right and do the right thing. It's not playing a role. It's not doing anything to please whitey. It's just black or white. You just do what's right. Hey, you know what? Send that to Sharpton.
All right.
Black or white, just do what's right. I think I'm onto something here. I don't want to make the whole show about this. Are these calls for what, Dan?
Yeah, to make comments on what you guys have been talking about.
I don't want to do a lot of this. Would you sit here through a couple of phone calls?
Yes, sir.
No, I'll get caught up on the business. Let me talk to Alfred. Alfred, how are you?
Hi. I would like to ask you a question, Frank.
Sure.
Okay, you said you're a white person. You don't understand why people of color riot when something like this happened.
Before they know the facts.
Yeah, before they know the facts. Okay.
Right.
Look at it like a different way. Every time a person of color get killed, it's always by a white cop.
Oh, no. Black people kill each other every day.
No. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about a cop and a person.
No, it's not. That's not true. There have been many cases where black cops killed black suspects.
Yeah, but it seems lately it's always, when they got a lot of controversy around it, it's always a white person.
Yes, and that's the point. There's only controversy if it's a white cop, even if it's justified. Let me ask you this, Alfred. What if you found out this afternoon that they had footage, police camera footage, of this young man trying to take this officer's gun from him and putting his life in harm's way? Then how would you feel about what's happened if that footage surfaced?
Okay, if that surfaced.
Well, then my point let's wait to see if it's something like that surfaces.
Well,
before we go crazy.
Listen a little bit more. They was talking about they found, 12 empty cartridges on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
The police was the only one had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
The young guy did not have a gun.
Right.
Now, that's, and he shot the boy 8 times. That's uncalled for.
Okay, I do not know.
Well, that's what they said, the coroner said.
Well, they say a lot of things. They said the first plane that flew into the Twin Towers was a small private plane. It was a commercial jet. So I'm not even delving into any of that. My point is this. Had the cop that shot this young man yesterday been black, and it had been just as unjustified as some people think this was, we wouldn't have had this. It still would have been an unjustified shooting, but we wouldn't have had this. So there's not an equal playing ground here. Alfred, I appreciate your call.
Okay.
All right. Let me get Dave in here, then we're going to have to do some business to get underway. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, just to jump in just a little quick. Grew up about 2 miles south of here in Jennings. Mm-hmm. Bought my first house about 2 miles north of here in Florissant. So the take is mob mentality goes across colors. This happens on white college campuses. It happened at Riverport with Guns N' Roses. That was an all-white crowd. When you get people together fired up, that's what happens. It takes just one person to start it.
Yes, that's true. And there's usually drugs, alcohol involved, but there's not race involved. Riverport is not racial. The stuff you're talking about, when Joplin had the tornado, and scum is scum, and thieves are thieves, and they see an opportunity because a business is broken and open, they'll go in and take stuff. But it's not racially motivated. That's the difference. You'll always have losers, pathetic, sick, uneducated, ignorant criminals. You just will. But race is what makes this all so confusing. That makes sense?
It does.
Dave, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Lane, I'm going to let you go. I'm glad I met you 100 million years ago. It was late 80s or 90. It was right in there. It was right in there.
Right.
And I didn't even want to go on that run. I didn't even own a Harley at the time. I had another bike, and I was afraid to ride it because it was all going to be Harleys, and I had a Yamaha or something.
You got that from that shop.
I got it from a dealer who loaned me a, hang on, it was a Harley. It wasn't a Heritage Softail. It was, I don't remember, but it was a little smaller bike. And I rode with my friend because he convinced me to do it because he was heavily involved in MDA. And that's the day I met you, and I'm so glad I did.
It's my pleasure.
And I appreciate you. Come tell your wife, Millie, hello. I appreciate you coming in. And I want everybody to know that you want to be like me so badly that you shaved your head since I saw you last. Just so you can be more like me.
You had.
Wait a minute. He lost 100 pounds, though. He's not being totally.
Yeah, he is. What do you weigh now?
Oh, he's down to your weight.
What do you weigh now?
262.
He's working toward my weight. He's working his way toward my weight.
For Alfred, he should take heed of what you said. And I get upset for the young black or young people of color hurting their own. Alfred should look at that also. It's happening every day all over these United States.
A life is a life. And if a black person, these young kids sitting on a porch in a bad neighborhood and a drive-by shooter kills a little girl.
Yep.
There's no outrage. There's no protest. Yep. There's no screaming. There's no Al Sharpton coming to town. Yep. It's still a dead girl.
But if
and that's
could,
worse.
If he could, if Sharpton coming to town could help squash this whole thing,
then you know
it'd
what?
Be worth his plane trip.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, I think everything Al Sharpton does is to glorify Al Sharpton. I do.
If he can help, he can help. If not, he should just let it go.
Mind his own business. Lane, nice to see you.
It's been my pleasure. You and the crew. God bless you.
Can I just tell him what I'm most proud of, the only prank I ever played on you? I'm at Lane's house, and he's not home. He's not home.
Okay, you can turn it off now.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you. And I asked his wife, I said, where's Lane? She said, oh, he just ran down the street. He'll be right back. So I watched out the window and knew when you were coming in and coming to the door, and I took my pants off and deliberately, when you walked in, ran out of the bedroom.
She was sitting there shaking like a...
And it was a ballsy thing to do because this guy could have killed me in 2 seconds with his hands.
No.
Okay. Thanks for coming in.
It's been my pleasure.
I appreciate
pleasure.
It. Sit tight. Let me sell something, and then I'll see you out. Window work. You live in Ferguson? You live in Florissant?
Florissant.
You did live in Ferguson one time, didn't you? For some reason, I thought you did. Window World. I know you're a homeowner, and, you know, when the time comes for windows, I'd like you to consider Window World. It is the largest selling replacement window in the United States. Over 40,000 homes in the St. Louis area have Window World windows, and it's the original $189 window. And the reason they have to say the original is because copycats, and it's true with anything. When you're successful, somebody's going to want to copy you, like Lane shaving his head to be like me. Okay? It's obvious. When I saw him, I knew why he shaved his head. When you are successful and your window's $189, another company is going to come along. We'll just price ours at $189. Maybe that'll confuse people. It doesn't confuse anybody. Most people know that Window World windows, nobody can touch them. Nobody can touch that value. Nobody has that quality for that price. Locally owned and operated. John Gillette, Jim Lomax. A couple of great guys that own the local Window World franchise, Missouri and Illinois, this part of Missouri and Illinois. So if you're thinking about windows, just at least consider, do your homework. Window World, windowworldst.louis.com.
Meet me.
Let's see how the traffic looks right now. Here's Tim Wiley.
This report's brought to you by DeVry University. Their professors and advisors are with you from start to finish, helping you pursue the career you want. Classes start September 2nd. Visit DeVry.edu. Got an accident on eastbound 40 midway between Hampton and the Science Center blocking the two left lanes. Right now traffic is backed up to Big Bend. Southbound 141, a crash at Fenton Crossing. Also on westbound 270 near Washington Elizabeth, we've got a report of an overturned vehicle. They haven't been able to find it on camera yet, but traffic is running slow on eastbound 270 now between approaching Lindbergh through 170. And then we have southbound 270 just running a bit off the pace now between Manchester and Doherty Ferry. And this report also brought to you by St. Louis Bread Company. Summer just got sweeter at St. Louis Bread Company. Add a bakery treat for just 99 cents when you purchase a lunch or dinner entree and a beverage, only at St. Louis Bread Company. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Wyland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I'm Kelly Jackson. Tune in Tuesday morning for the latest on the Ferguson situation from McGraw and the KTRS newsroom. We'll also catch up with ABC's Trey Harden, former Met Daryl Strawberry, and the St. Louis contestant on The Next Great Baker, and a filmmaker who documents the failing of a small town in western Missouri. It's McGraw Live, starting at 6 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Randy Naughton here to say that True Clean Carpet is truly one of the best. Why do I know this? Because I've used them in my house. You've had the typical carpet cleaning experience. They come out, clean the carpets. They look pretty good, but just in a few short weeks, they start looking dingy again. Plus, they take forever to dry. I'm here to tell you that True Clean Carpet has done away with these two problems. They come out with their own treated water, totally organic pre-spray, so you don't use detergents that leave sticky residue and attract even more dirt. They dry with True Clean Carpet in 1 to 2 hours. No more worry about mold or other issues of having your carpets wet for so long. True Clean Carpet gets them dry in just 1 to 2 hours because they invest in the newest extraction technology. So do what I do. Call True Clean Carpet at 314-427-9500, 314-427-9500, or see their website at truecleancarpet.com. Mention my name and get one Scotchgard protection absolutely free. It's True Clean Carpet.
Hi, this is Jim Holder. If you're in the market for a truck, SUV, or crossover, let me recommend my friends at Broadway Ford Truck Sales. Broadway Ford is a one-stop, full Ford truck, SUV, and crossover dealership. They can help you with all of your retail and commercial vehicles. Broadway Ford Truck Sales has been earning your business for over 50 years at the same location. If you never used Broadway Ford, give them a try. They have a state-of-the-art service and parts department. And if you need to lease or rent a vehicle or truck, call Jim Cavanaugh. His staff has what you need. Broadway Ford Truck Sales is a business-preferred network located downtown at 1506 South 7th Street. You can reach them. Call 314-241-9140. That's 314-241-9140. Or at BroadwayTruck.com.
The best way to solve any problem is usually the simplest and most straightforward. After all, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. That's why when your foundation starts cracking or sinking, you need PermaJack, the patented foundation stabilizing system. Steel piers are hydraulically driven to give your home a foundation it can stand on. A foundation that is solid as rock. PermaJack is the simple system. A small crew can install it in only a few days without major excavation or heavy equipment. PermaJack is the straightforward system. A small hole is dug next to your foundation wall, the PermaJack bracket is attached to the footing, a hydraulic pump forces a sturdy steel pier down into the earth as far as necessary, and the hole is refilled. PermaJack is the best system. Each pier is load-tested under pressure to be certain your foundation is securely supported. There's no competition. Other systems just can't match the simplicity, reliability, and economy of PermaJack, the original. PermaJack, solid as rock.
Call PermaJack today at 636-225-2553.
Little Jack Horner sat in a corner of his ransacked apartment, wondering what kind of nitwit steals a futon. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped him with renter's insurance, and he got full replacement. Unfortunately, little Jack Horner had to have his stomach pumped when he ate a six-month-old Christmas pie. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
There's nothing like a delicious, high-quality restaurant steak delivered to your home from Kuna Food Service. Prices are reasonable, and it's perfect as a gift anytime. Kuna Food Service. Online at steakgift.net.
Kubota presents their Gear Up and Go sales event, going on now, with special promotion pricing on tractors and Commander zero-turn mowers. Click on stlouiskubotadealers.com.
The most dangerous thing about planning for retirement is not what you do know, it's what you don't. Discover how to conquer retirement's unknown obstacles on America's Wealth Management Show this Saturday afternoon at 1, right here on 550 KTRS.
I want to thank my buddy Lane White. That's a true story I told, by the way, when I opened up a can of whoop-ass on it back behind.
Oh, I believe it.
He didn't like to admit it, but that's what happened. American Equity Mortgage. Jose's on the way. If you have any tech questions, jot them down, because you're going to get a chance to talk to him here in a few minutes. American Equity Mortgage, the longest-running advertiser on this show, 23 years. Wow. 52 weeks a year. We thank them for that. You will thank them for helping you get a mortgage so that you can no longer be a renter and be a homeowner. You will also thank them for helping you get a loan at a reasonable rate, a low rate, not a ridiculous rate that's almost highway robbery, as they say. And I don't know what that means, really, highway. How did they get to highway robbery? Why is that different than any other kind of robbery? But it almost is robbery when charge card companies charge 9, 10, sometimes more percent. Get out from under that stuff. Use the equity in your house if you're a homeowner and stop making those minimum payments. American Equity Mortgage will show you how to do that. They've been doing this a long time. Perfect or less than perfect credit, AmericanEquity.com or 314-878-9999. News is up and some other stuff. And then Jose Hernandez.